Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday morning, Thursday, November the 9th, 2023, 18 minutes past the hour, 46 degrees and cloudy skies here in the Marion area. And it has been a very interesting week, election week, 2023. I do want to thank our guest in hour number one, legendary mentalist from the Johnny Carson Show, David Letterman Show, Jimmy Fallon Show, the amazing Kreskin, who has appeared with us so many times. But this morning was a very serious conversation. Kreskin, recently diagnosed with stomach cancer, did his first interview this morning, live interview, in regard to that. And we learned this morning that as of 2 weeks ago, Kreskin is cancer-free. So we could not be more happy about that. And we thank Kreskin for speaking with us first this morning about that very important issue. We're going to switch gears here because the election was Tuesday night. And I have to say something right off the top of the bat here in this particular hour. We did election coverage the other night, live election coverage. It ran about 3 hours here on the station. And yesterday morning, we got more calls from people on and off the air about how they enjoyed that coverage. Now, it was the 10th year we've done coverage on this particular station. I've been doing coverage for about 21 years, live election night coverage. But people felt the coverage the other night with everybody involved was just fantastic. And everybody heard the calls who listened to the program yesterday. A big part of that was my guest this morning, who's going to recap what happened on Tuesday night, even though she was with us, but we now have some results that are more binding and further at this point than we did at 10:30 via Tuesday night. Without Mary Ellen Withrow, the event would not have been as special. The event would not have been as fun. She has been so good to me over the years, and I don't know how many election coverages we've done at this point, but we've done a few, and I always enjoy it, and I hope we will do many more together. It was so good to have her that night. It's so good to have her this morning to have this conversation about the fallout from Tuesday night. My pal, one of the nicest people you will ever meet, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, so good to speak with you.
Oh, thank you, Scott. My goodness gracious.
Mary Ellen, everybody at the studio the other night had such a great time. We got such great feedback on the election coverage. What did you make of the coverage itself? Did you have a good time?
Oh, yes, I had a great time. And, you know, it was just fun to get everything firsthand there, because when I stay at home on election night, it's hard to gather the information. It seems like you never can find out what's going on.
You know, it was coming in right at us on Tuesday night, and we knew the moment that these issues had passed statewide in the local races. And it was fascinating to hear your take on it. We got a lot of feedback on that, you know, here is a lady who went to the height in her field and was around before Roe versus Wade was law in the Supreme Court, but also saw Roe versus Wade go by the wayside. So to be there when that spontaneous moment, when you knew that issue one had passed, that meant a lot to a lot of people.
That's right, and it should.
You know, Mary Ellen, the first thing I want to talk about here, issue one and issue two, all the votes are in the state. They both passed with exactly 57% statewide. What does that say to you?
Well, that's kind of surprising, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people felt these two issues were intertwined, and with exactly the same percentage, would we now have to say that they were somewhat?
Well, I guess so, yeah. But in Marion, it wasn't exactly that way.
No, in Marion County, very interestingly, recreational marijuana did pass with a little over 50% of the vote, but abortion did not fail as bad as people thought it would. It was really 50-49, not a huge difference. Did that surprise you?
Yes, a little bit. I was really hoping it would pass in Marion, but it was close.
One of the things that was the talk that night, election night, was the fact that over 18,000 people in an off-year election turned out in Marion County, nearly 50% of registered voters. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I think that's great. It should be 100%, but anyway, we'll take the 18,000.
Yeah, we'll take the 50% for sure.
Yeah, right.
When we look at the fact that statewide, both of these issues got 57% exactly, do you think that one of the things that drove both of these issues, recreational marijuana and abortion, is basically don't tell us what to do?
Oh, I think that's exactly how people felt. You know, that's how women have felt from the very beginning about the Roe versus Wade situation. We just, after we experienced having it and then to take it away, I mean, that was just brutal.
You know, Mary Ellen, it's hard for people to understand what times were like in those days before Roe versus Wade, and I think a lot of people were educated on that and remembered it. What do you remember about that time before abortion was legal?
Oh, it was very bad. I mean, women were doing things to try to have lose a baby, and it was just awful what they went through.
You know, when we look at this statewide, nearly 4 million people in the state of Ohio turned out to vote on Tuesday night. 4 million people in the state. The exact number is 3,862,690. In an off-year election when we weren't voting for governor, weren't voting for president, really had no state offices up for grabs, does that number shock you on these two issues?
Yes, it does a little bit, but I know everybody was fired up about it.
Now that abortion will be legal, 30 days is the mark, 30 days from Tuesday, it will should take effect on December the 7th, same thing with recreational marijuana. Do you have any apprehension about what will happen between now and then? Do you think there'll be court cases? Do you think politicians might try to step in and put a delay on either one of these issues?
Well, they've been talking about it, and I thought, you know, they hadn't better, because this is the vote of the people. They better leave it alone.
You know what's interesting, Mary Ellen, is a lot of people were shocked on Tuesday night that abortion won in counties in Ohio that Donald Trump had won. Did we learn, basically, on Tuesday night that there are a group of Republicans, there are a group of independents that support abortion rights and recreational marijuana?
What was that now?
Basically, do you think with passing with 57% and the fact that abortion won out in counties that Trump had won, can we now say that there are women who are Republicans and maybe men who do support abortion rights for women?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah. I want to read a quote here because the head of the Democratic Party here in Ohio said something after the election on Tuesday night. And we also had somebody here for Ohioans for reproductive rights. Here were the quotes. "Ohioans across the political spectrum don't want government involved in their personal health care decisions," said Veronica Ingham, campaign manager of Ohioans United for Reproductive Rights. Now, this comes from the head of the Democratic Party. "Issue campaigns and candidate campaigns aren't apples-to-apples comparisons," Ohio Democratic Party Chairwoman Liz Walder said, "but the 2023 results provide a roadmap for Democrats like Senator Sherrod Brown in 2024. Do you agree with what the head of the Democratic Party in Ohio said there?
Oh, pretty much, yeah.
Do you think this gives Sherrod Brown a good idea next year about where he needs to campaign in Ohio if he wants to keep his seat?
Well, yes, he's campaigning very hard, and he should because they're going to try to defeat him. But this election showed us that Democrats are out there and they can speak their voice.
When the party chairperson says issue campaigns and candidate campaigns are not apples to apples, would you agree to that?
Yes, that's true. But there, you have to really realize this past election what it meant, and it meant that the Democrats are saying what they want, and they were all out to do it.
You know, in the last couple elections, Mary Ellen, Donald Trump carried Ohio twice, and of course we have a Republican Governor Mike DeWine, and a lot of people were starting to feel that Ohio was very Republican when for a long time we were considered a swing state. After Tuesday's election, with both of these issues passing with 57%, recreational marijuana and abortion, would we have to say that we still are a swing state and Democrats got the vote out on Tuesday night?
Well, I suppose you could say that, but I'm kind of holding my breath on that one.
You know, Mary Ellen, over the course of your life, how have you seen the perception of abortion change? Because a lot of people were saying if this vote had happened 20 years ago, it might not have passed.
Oh, I don't know about that. If they'd taken it away like they had, I'm sure it would have passed, because I think everybody feels about the same today as they did 20 years ago.
Explain to people why this is such an important issue for people, because a lot of people feel that people will get abortions, and the number of abortions are actually very small in the state of Ohio and always have been. But why is it important to have the right to choose? And 57% of the state believes that.
That's right. Well, it's important to women to have the right to do that. The fact that we would probably never do it is probably the case, but you just don't want the government telling you what to do and what you have to do. And then in the cases of rape and all of those situations, it's so terrible. I know somebody that had that situation that was involved in all of that back several years ago. And yeah, it's an awful situation.
You know, and I think that is lost sometimes on people that It is a horrible situation, but maybe something that needs to be available to people, I think, is what the vote said on Tuesday night.
Yes, you know, I was watching MSNBC this morning, and Chris Christie was on with them on that show, and they really got into it over the last-minute abortion, which is, you know, that's never going to happen. And that's what they were threatening us with here in Ohio. That's what really the governor was trying to tell us. And it's just not the thing that's going to happen, I don't think, ever. And it was pretty interesting.
Did you feel the governor was a little deceptive in his ads?
Oh, I don't think he should have done what he did. I think it was wrong for him and his wife to be on TV about that, because he lost.
Yeah. What does this say about him in this particular situation? He's not up for re-election, but he certainly fell on the wrong side of this issue.
Well, but I've known all along that he was against abortion. We've all known that. He didn't have to get on TV to tell us.
Do you think that may have been... Why do you think he did it? Do you have any idea why he did that?
Well, he probably felt he should, I suppose, in his beliefs. I don't know why he did it, because, you know, I haven't talked to him or anything, but I just thought, well, I'm everybody knows where he stood.
Do you expect legal challenges to come in the next 30 days? We're hearing a little bit here and there about it, but do you expect there to be a big legal challenge or maybe even some kind of legal action on the governor's behalf, some kind of action he could take legislatively?
Well, if they do, they're making a big mistake, I'll tell you that.
I do know that there are certain groups, and as a matter of fact, I want to pull this up here very quick because yesterday we had one of them on, who the press releases went out immediately after the election was over, and the group was called End Abortion Ohio, and basically what they've said is, we call upon the governor of Ohio to treat issue one as null and void, to issue an executive order per the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and Article 1, Section 1 of the Ohio Constitution, directing all agencies under his command to treat preborn human beings as persons who must be provided the equal protection of law. And again, that's End Abortion Ohio. Do you think if the governor did something like that, that would be a mistake?
Absolutely.
Yeah. When we look at this, is it ever going to end, the argument between pro-life and pro-choice?
I don't probably think so. It'll probably go on forever.
Mary Ellen, I do want to talk about recreational marijuana for a second, because that passed with the same percentage statewide as issue one did. What do you make of this? What do you think we're going to see when it becomes legal on December 7th?
Well, they're probably planting the plants right now. they're ready.
You know, so many law enforcement people campaigned against this, saying people could be impaired while they were driving. There could be issues with this. There could be health concerns. Do you think that's going to be a big issue in the long run?
Well, they shouldn't be driving. They shouldn't be driving when they've drank too much, and they shouldn't be driving after taking this. So what's the big deal, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the same could be said for alcohol. All and a whole lot of other things.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's kind of like that argument, I think, way back. Of course, I wasn't around when that happened, but I imagine it was terrible trying to get the law passed so that people could drink. Can yeah. you imagine?
Oh, but in the Prohibition days, it must have been something.
Yeah. I mean, they were doing all sorts of stuff behind the law, and that's what they were doing with this, and so why not make it legal and control people?
In our final few minutes here, Mary Ellen, I do want to turn locally here for a second, because yesterday morning, the day after the election, we had Ayers Ratliff on, who was victorious on Tuesday night in his race for the second ward city council, a Democrat. But now, and he and I talked about this yesterday, I don't remember a time in history where this has ever happened. He now is the lone Democrat on city council, one Democrat on city council after Tuesday night's election. Just what are your thoughts in general about that?
Well, he can probably handle it. He does a good job.
Do you think that something has to change in Marion County or in the state for the party makeup in Marion to go the other direction?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's so much needs to be done. We just need to have people working hard for the Democratic Party, and that's not happening right now.
On the whole, Mayor Schertzer will be leaving office January the 1st. What do you see his future at this point like?
Oh, he's probably got a good future. He's done a good job as our mayor and been there a long time. So I don't worry about his future, because he'll be okay.
And kind of finally on this, issue one, issue two pass on Tuesday night. What's the story of Tuesday night for women, for Democrats in Ohio, and for you personally, who obviously supported issue one and issue two? What would you say about Tuesday night?
It was a happy night.
happy night, absolutely. And yes, Mary Ellen, I cannot thank you enough for joining us this morning. And as you always have on election night, it was so much fun to have you there, and everybody echoed that sentiment. It's always good to have you on, and I'm sure we will talk again soon. Thank you for being such a pal.
Oh, I love to do that, Scott. You know that. I really enjoy being with you and all the people that were involved the other night. We did. We had a great time.
We did. Thank you, Mary Ellen.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States. Well, that was a lot of fun. Now you've heard all the stories here this morning. From Mary Ellen to Kreskin. How about that story? Phone lines are open if you'd like to comment on anything. 38 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. Had to remember the number there for a second. 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz. We would love to hear from you. Any thoughts on the election remaining? Any thoughts on what Mary Ellen had to say this morning? Any thoughts on what Kreskin had to say this morning? So glad that he is cancer-free. We're all very happy to hear that. And life goes on in that matter. Again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Do want to remind everybody again, Lee Street Presbyterian Church's annual bazaar at 455 Lee Street will happen Saturday, November 11th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., lunch served from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., a large selection of baked goods, homemade candies, popcorn balls, decorations, gifts, crafts, and miscellaneous items will be for sale. The lunch menu is shredded chicken sandwiches, hot dogs, chili, other soups to be determined, desserts and beverages. Come and enjoy. And again, that's the Lee Street Presbyterian Church's annual bazaar, 455 Lee Street, Saturday, November 11th, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. All right. And again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Okay, I had something else here this morning. Okay, is this, well, you know, tomorrow we'll be broadcasting. Now, last week, we did our first Friday broadcast from the new studio. Now, tomorrow, we are going to let people know where the new studio is, so get ready for that. But we're going to start broadcasting at 8:15 a.m. from the new studio. We'll be there through 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and then tomorrow night, we will be on 8:15 until 10 p.m. Tomorrow morning, we'll kick off the morning with Sean Kraft and Matt Morgan. 9 a.m., we'll have Pastor Whitaker. 10 a.m., Sean Kraft and Matt Morgan. 11 a.m., we'll have Pastor Craig. Exchange Club at 12 will be Sean, Matt, and Pastor Craig. And then 1 p.m., Study His Word with Pastor Craig. And then tomorrow night, we will have Sean, Matt, and Carrington live in the studio for Friday Night Live, 8:15 to 10 p.m. And we're going to have a lot of fun from the new studio. And the phone lines are working, by the way. That was something we did not have last week. The phone lines were not working when we did the show from the studio last Friday. So tomorrow we will have telephonic communications. And we're happy about that. Fruitcake Toss coming up December 14th, 7 p.m. Is everybody okay with that date? That's one thing we wanted to check. I know a lot of people participate in the Fruitcake Toss and nominate people. Does Thursday night, December the 14th at 7 p.m. work for everybody? If anybody has anything to say about the Fruitcake Toss, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. We might start taking nominations tomorrow morning for this if this date works out for everybody. Did get confirmation the other night that I will be hosting Christmas in Caledonia, which I believe is called Christmas in the Village, on Saturday night, December the 9th. I believe the tree lighting ceremony is at 6:15, so I will be there reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and then we will light the tree, and Carrington and Matt will be there, Sean will be there, and I believe they're going to sing as the tree is lit, and we're going to have a good time ringing in Christmas in Caledonia. And apparently the tree is outside this year. The last time we did this, it was inside. So the tree is outside. So that will be a lot of fun. Well, I'll tell you. You know, we did a taping last night. Did a taping with Carrington and Matt. And just had fun. You know, it's been a busy couple days with election coverage, and then yesterday going in and taping two episodes of The Exchange for television, which, by the way, you can get on YouTube. If you go to Exchange Scott Spears, you'll pull them up on YouTube. The episodes we taped last night are not up there yet. But, you know, those two are just fun to work with, and that's kind of what we heard yesterday, is that everybody enjoyed the election coverage on Tuesday. I hope you enjoyed it if you listened to it. We had a lot of fun. Of course, again, I want to thank everybody who was a part of that. Mary Ellen, Sean, Carrington, Matt, Linda, Pastor Craig, the whole gang that was there. Terry, the band of merry people who made that work on Tuesday night. And also, everybody who came in the studio, my goodness, Ayers Ratliff was there, Miranda McGinnis was there, Jason Schauber was there, Glenn Coble was there. We thank them all for coming in. And then the people we had call in, Dr. Mark Davis, Bill Collins, Tara Dyer, Cody Higley. Really a good night for us on the whole, and we could not have been happier with the programming. Again, does anybody have anything to say out there this morning? 43 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give us a buzz here, and we can talk about it. Would love to talk about it at this particular point. Heaven knows there's a lot to talk about these days. You know, there is something I did want to say this morning. You know, I talked about 10 years of doing election coverage here on this station, and I did think the election coverage we did on Tuesday night was really second to none, probably the best election coverage that we had ever had. But I do want to thank everybody in the past who has participated in election coverage with this station, because we've done it for 10 years, and to be honest with you, if we didn't have the people that we'd had in the first 10 years, we couldn't have gotten to where we got last night. We couldn't have showed up last night and just, hey, this is a great program. Again, 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller. Hello, caller. Are you there? Well, if that was you, give us a buzz back. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. We had a call there, but I don't know where they went. So if that was you, call us back. Well, nothing worse than telephone problems. 740-751-4038. Give us a call back. I thought I heard us in the background there in that particular call. But you never know, I guess. Telephone lines are open. 740-751-4038. Now, I just want to thank everybody who ever participated in election coverage in the past. Okay, maybe this is the problem. Hopefully the issue has been worked out here. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, it's me.
Yes, go ahead.
I wasn't able to listen yesterday morning. Did you have any good turnout of the local people and their opinions on the election?
You know, yesterday was very good. We had Ayers Ratliff on, who's now the lone Democrat on city council. Really, at this point, the lone Democrat in city government besides Mark Russell at this point. Ayers came on yesterday. We had somebody from the End Abortion Group on to talk about how they felt about the decision on Tuesday night. They were on. Adam called in. We got to hear from Ted Jolliffe. Ted Jolliffe said he felt the election coverage we had was the best we ever had.
Yeah,
and
that was good that night.
Yeah, and Cody Higley called in, a candidate for River Valley School Board, and finally reiterated that, yes, the votes had come in from Morrow County, and the River Valley School Board did pass both levies, one by 80 votes and one by 110. Did you listen to the whole coverage on Tuesday night?
Yeah.
What did you make of our coverage?
Oh, I thought it was excellent, you know, especially, the kids did their job. You know, they're at the Democratic headquarters, or at the Marion County headquarters. Matt did, you know, was there. And, Carrington, you know, she did a good job being on the computer and having things, you know, available for you, you know, to say how things went. And then Mary Ellen Withrow, anytime you have Mary Ellen, I've never got to beat Mary Ellen, but, you know, it's one thing I'd love to do. And, she has a nice sense of humor, too. She'll put her humor in there sometimes.
Well, you know, we'll have to get her to meet you sometime. I'm sure she would stop by and say hello.
Yeah, she's, one woman out of Marin County that would be extremely nice to meet.
Yeah, absolutely. And who else did we have? Well, Sean was there, and Terry. They didn't get much airtime, but they were there helping out, that's for sure. And did you enjoy the interviews with Glenn and Miranda and Ayers and Jason and all the people who called in?
Yeah.
I know you were a supporter of Glenn Coble's, and you liked his show when it was on the station here. What'd you make of how that election turned out?
Well, I think Glenn did pretty good. I think he got a lot more votes since it was such a good turnout that he wouldn't have got, if this was just an average election, and these two issues wasn't on it. I'm disappointed that he didn't win, but I knew he probably wasn't going to win anyhow. But
what did you make of Bill Collins when he called in that night and said that he wants to get somebody working with the auditor, a paid position, not an elected position, to help straighten that out? And also, basically, I guess at this point does not feel the auditor needs to resign. He's not at that point.
Well, I know you had Miranda McGinnis on earlier, and I don't think she was there at that time, when he called and said that. And I just wonder how Miranda McGinnis feels about having somebody come in like that. Hopefully she feels it's all right, you know what I'm saying?
Well, how did you think the Miranda interview went? She still says there's no chance she'll resign. Oh, that was something that came up yesterday. Boy, I'll tell you, it's all blending together now. But Ayers Ratliff, I can't remember if he said it yesterday or he said it during election coverage, that basically her bond is going to come due, she's going to end up owing out of her pocket $250,000. And he feels there's no doubt this will happen with the mistakes that keep happening. What do you make of that whole situation?
You mean they're going to now go back on her bond for mistakes that she's made?
Well, I'm trying to remember exactly what Ayers said yesterday, because I don't want to misquote him, because I think it was yesterday. But he said that eventually her bonding company is not going to support her anymore, and they're going to go after her, the bonding company, for the $250,000. And she should have thought about resigning instead of, having to pay this bill, $250,000.
Well, I don't know how she's going to be able to pay that, but, if Landon hadn't had that office in such a mess, she could have succeeded better. Rather than stepping in at this time, I just don't know how much fault you can give her. I don't know if she's done some mistakes herself too, but what she stepped into, anybody is going to have a tough time there.
It's kind of interesting because, as Ayers said yesterday, and we pointed out, for the first time, and somebody would have to point it out to me if it's different, there'll be one Democrat on city council, one. And we will now also have a Republican mayor as well come January 1st. What do you make of that? One Democrat left on city council.
That's sad, especially since I'm a Democrat myself.
Well, how do you think Marion got this way? We've always said we leaned Republican, but I don't think it's ever been like this before.
No, Republicans has always controlled the state, but Democrats have held some nice offices and stuff. And I remember when the city was practically all Democrat. The people, the councilmen and, the mayor and stuff like that, but things have changed.
Well,
I don't think if the Republicans hadn't put such a bad bill and tried to railroad people and take all their reproductive rights and stuff away from them, this vote might have not happened. But the extreme, what their extreme way that they wanted it, that just backfired on them.
What do you make of 18,000 people turning out in Marion, nearly 50% of registered voters, and nearly 4 million in the state in a year where we didn't vote on a governor, we didn't vote on a president?
Yeah, that was awesome, you know, to get that many. Because normally, what, 5,000 would have typically voted for this?
Yeah, the last election in the city for mayor drew about a little over 5,000 people.
So you know those two, you know, issues was on people's minds, you know, and dealt with what they want. And I just hope now that we've spoken for the recreational marijuana, and people should leave it be. We've spoken about the abortion issue, okay? Churches and those organizations should leave it be. What you concentrate now on is your flock that's going to have abortions and stuff like that. Work on them before you try to work on everybody else. You know, we spoke. We do not want them taking that, you know, the rights away. And if you hear somebody speak, can't you just leave it? Do you enjoy making people, you know, abide by your rules in the way you want?
Do you believe with both of these issues passing with exactly 57% statewide on Tuesday night that this sends a message to the Republicans?
Well, it should. That's why, you know, hopefully we don't have to hear their crap again where they want to, you know, try to get around it.
What did you feel about what? Did you hear Mary Ellen on the beginning of this hour?
Yeah.
What did you feel about her comments in regard to her not happy that the governor was out campaigning against issue one?
Well, I wasn't happy about it either, but, you know, he's the main person, that reason why we had, you know, such a, you know, no exceptions, no nothing, but, you know, that's just ridiculous.
You know, what did you make, because, again, Marion, pretty conservative town, obviously. I believe we've only got four office holders left in the entire county who are Democrats at this point. Yet, in Marion County, with a vote of over 18,000 people, recreational marijuana did pass in Marion County on the whole. And abortion just failed with 1%. I mean, I thought people thought these would be defeated at least by 5% in Marion County, yet recreational marijuana passes countywide, and so and abortion only 1% fails. Would you have to say that some Republicans voted for these issues?
I would have to say, but it's strange, Marion County, you know, abortion, you know, didn't pass, you know, but at least statewide it did.
Well, you know what's interesting? We voted for the special election in August when the state voted against it. We voted for it in Marion County. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe we voted for it like 55%. And I believe that's why people thought abortion would go down in Marion County by about 55%. But it didn't. It only went down by about 1%. The numbers were very close.
Yeah, you know, that really surprised me there.
Yeah, so what do you make of recreational marijuana passing in Marion County and certainly passing in the state? You think we're going to see any problems with this?
No. I mean, talking about how, you know, you're going to tell whether a person's high or drunk or whatever. You know, I know a person high should not drive, but marijuana don't affect your senses so bad that it affects you that way like alcohol does. You know, for people that's never smoked marijuana, you know, and know the difference between the alcohol and marijuana. It's like the night and day. Marijuana don't, you know, take all your senses away to where you're going to physically pass out. And, you know, you don't know what you're doing. You can't remember, you know, what happened yesterday or something like that, you know.
Well, how was the sound quality on Tuesday night? Heaven knows we had some issues, people complaining that. I went back and listened to it.
You being muffled and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't hear that at all. I went back and listened to it. I didn't. It sounded fine to me.
It sounded fine to me, too. I don't know what there's, you know, getting on about that. I mean, you sounded great, you know, to me, either way you did, you know.
Well, I'm and
stuff up, but a little time to, but either way, you know, you was sounding good when I was listening to it.
Well, like I say, I just want to say it was our 10th election coverage. Certainly won't be our last, but I do believe, as callers said yesterday, that it was our best election coverage, and that went to everybody who participated in that room on Tuesday night. But also, and it was fun, everybody was excited on Tuesday night, everybody, and that's great. But, you know, all the years I did election coverage with a lot of people from, we did it with Charlie for years, I did it with, I've been doing it with Sean and Linda for years, Terry, of course, has been there a long time. Gosh, Mary Ellen's been with us several years. We've done it. Glenn has done it with us for several years. And I'm just trying to remember all the people who've participated over the years with us. Angie was with us for several years. And without those people, we couldn't have had the great coverage that we had, because you've got to have building blocks along the way. And all those people who helped us build is why we had great election coverage the other night. And so I want to say thank you to all of them. As well.
And yet, there was two big issues on there people cared about, you know, so, you know, that made it, if there wasn't the issues on there, you know, if it was just normal old election that comes by an issue, you know, at this time, I don't think election coverage would have been as good, because there wasn't the hot button issues everybody cared about.
Well, and we also have to say congratulations to River Valley. They did a tremendous job in getting that vote out.
They passed both of them, didn't they?
Passed both of them by slim margins, 80 and 110 votes, but my goodness, they got it done. And in the end, they don't ask you how much you won by, they just ask you if you won, and River Valley can say they won, and they campaigned hard. And I said, my Cubs cap is off to River Valley for doing that. They got them both. You're absolutely right. Well, hey, listen, tomorrow morning we're going to announce where we are. We'll be in the new studio, and also I think we're going to take start taking nominations for the first fruitcake toss. Tara Dyer got back in, but quickly, what'd you make of Tara Dyer getting back in after that interview Monday?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, so it was. We'll talk more tomorrow morning, but listen, tomorrow we'll be at the new studio. We're going to tell people where we are. We're going to take nominations for the fruitcake toss on December 14th, and you can tell us if we sound muffled tomorrow, because we'll be at the new studio.
Going to go through that stuff again.
We always do. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, we thank Mary Ellen Withrow and the amazing Kreskin today. Linda Sims coming up next, and Adam the Computer Guy at 12:15 for this day. Scott Spears heading for the Dugout.
Listening to the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll